Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning. Good morning. This is the day what? That the Lord has made. Good morning, everybody who is watching us over the internet, via YouTube or Facebook, or even those who are going to watch this on a recording a couple days later. Good morning to you. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Hallelujah. We are a Bible-based church in West Philadelphia. Our pastor is Pastor Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. Amen. And he's got a word for us this morning. Amen. 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 Right before I call the pastor out, there's two things I'm going to do. But today, what I want to do first is I want to read this scripture first so we can pray on it. Amen. Amen. For those of you who are at home, get out your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 10. Same thing for those of you in the church. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. One of our ushers will bring it to you. And I'm going to read God's word. So in honor of God's word, whether you're here or at home, if we could all stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. 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 Romans chapter 12. I'm going to be starting at verse 10. Amen. The word of God reads as follows. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do not rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Amen. 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 Lord Jesus, that word that you just gave to us, hallelujah. Let that word be written on our hearts this morning so that we would change, that we would pray at all times, that we would not condescend, that we would weep with those that are weeping right now, that we would not persecute, that we would rejoice, and that we would lead those who are unsaved to you, Christ Jesus, that we would fulfill that mission in our lives to witness to what you have done for us and to help others get to hear your word. Lord, help us right now. Strengthen us and empower us to have a witness that is effective so that for all those who are out there right now struggling, those that are lost, we could tell them, come see a man, and they would seek after you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for always making the doors of this house of worship open, that we've always been able to hear your preached word throughout this COVID crisis. We thank you for the other houses where your word has been going out to not only sustain us, but to strengthen us. Lord, let your love flow through us that we would give it to one another, that we would not be selfish, but be charitable and giving. Help us, Lord, because our flesh wants to do something different. But we want to serve you. Guide us and lead us in all paths of righteousness, Christ Jesus. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Transform and renew our minds. Work on us all throughout the inside, that we would show your love on the outside, that you would be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Transform us this morning, Christ Jesus, as we sit under your preached word. Anoint our pastor right now. Settle the things that are in his mind. Make his heart receptive, that he would deliver the word that you have placed down in him, that he would explain it in a way that we can all understand, whether here or online, so that we would serve and glorify you. So anoint him to bless us with what you want us to hear. And prepare our hearts to receive it, our ears to hear it, and our minds to understand it. That we would be edified this morning, and you would be glorified. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So without further ado, as we remain standing, if we could, let us receive our pastor. Amen. That we would receive that good word. Amen.
You guys remember this song we used to sing years ago, but this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let's see if we can form a church choir. Y'all ready? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
All right, we're going to do it again, but y'all got to do a lot better than that. Y'all got to do a lot better than that. Everybody find your note. Do, re, mi, fa, so. Find your note, okay? And we're going to work on one more round, then we'll be done with it. Ready?
This is the day that the Lord has made. Much better. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
God bless you. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Come on, let's thank him for this day, right? A day we've never seen before, a day never promised to us. But thanks be unto our God, right? He woke us up this morning, breath in our body, strength in our bones and in our muscle, gave us a mind to go to the house of the Lord. And so we thank God for his presence. We thank God for his presence in this place and most importantly in our hearts. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Hey, before we turn our attention to the Word of God, I do just want to make a couple remarks. One, I want to start by saying how proud I am as a pastor of this church. It's been a remarkable weekend. As you will see this afternoon when you head out back into the garden, on Friday we had a mound of dirt delivered taller than Jackson, taller than Tyra. I mean, it was almost 7 feet high. But throughout the weekend, all day Friday, all day Saturday, we have been working and cutting that mound down. We're getting dirt into all of the garden beds. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that has participated in those activities on Friday and Saturday, and to all of you that will be helping out today. What great teamwork. The cliche is, teamwork is what makes the dream works. And so I just wanted to express my appreciation for all of you
for your involvement in that regard. Because the dirt, the soil is here, and because we're getting it into the garden beds, well, this month we'll finally make good on our promise that we'll be able to plant seeds in the garden. And so the Sunday after Mother's Day, the 15th and 22nd, you'll hear more about that in the announcement, we'll finally be able to get out and plant seeds in our garden. So we're so looking forward to that. And I just want to share something with you as your pastor relative to the garden. My hope is, my vision is, that everyone that is a part of Taylor Nation would be actively involved in the garden. I don't want anyone here to look at it as if it's someone else's garden. No, this is our garden, and this is our gift to the community. This is literally what we're giving to the community. Talking about this past weekend, so many people were out on yesterday and Friday because they saw all the activity, the dump trucks. They saw all the kids in the yard on all these days. What's going on? I said, the garden's going again. They were like, oh, we're excited. Fine. Y'all going to come back. They're looking forward to it. There's a sense of anticipation in the community. And so I want it to be something that we are all a part of, okay? So every Sunday there's going to be something going on in the garden. And I want you to start coming to church with the expectation that we're going to worship together. And then afterwards we're going to go in the garden and we are going to work together. Okay? So I'm going to tell you something. If you believe me as your pastor, you can learn more about your God through gardening than you can at home watching religious TV on Sunday. And if you don't believe me, try it. Get out. You'll learn more about your God through the process of gardening. Now, I already preached the sermons last year, sermons from the soil. They talk about soil and dirt and all that stuff in the Bible more than you would imagine. Do the research on it. Google it. Count. How many times does soil or dirt or all that stuff come up? It's all over your Bible. And he uses it. Why? Because it's something we can relate to learn how we can relate to him. You follow what I'm saying? And so we do ourselves a disservice. And I know it's tough. We're city dwellers. We're urbanites. We're not used to it. The other thing I want is not only for you to work in this garden, I'm really trying to encourage everyone to start a garden at your home. Get a tomato plant or something and start growing something at your home. You don't need a plot of land or any big space. They got so many convenient ways now for folks to grow plants and herbs and different things right in their home, right in your windowsill. And so as your pastor, I'm encouraging you to do that. Because again, you're going to learn more about your God through gardening, amen, than staying home and doing the Sunday hop from preacher to preacher every hour, okay? So again, I'm just sharing that with you. And again, just so thankful for all the help and support we got all week long. So thankful for the help and support we're having today. We are going to fire up the grill today. We're going to have that going. We got water ice coming. So it's going to be a real great Sunday. And so with that, I got instructions to preach fast so that we can get out in the garden and get going. So I got a simple sermon, and I'm going to ask you to turn there with me. If you have your Bibles, go to Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 15, the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, familiar passage 4 through 15. And we're going to add to the witness out of the book of James, also in the New Testament, James 1, 2 through 4. As you turn to those passages, I am going to invite you to stand with me. Luke 8, the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 15. And we'll add to the witness out of the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Amen. If you're there, you will find this parable. It says, when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke a parable. sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. The birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand." Verse 11. Now this is what we want to look at. Now this is the parable. The seed, the word of God. And those by the wayside are ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation or testing, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground, this is our text right here. We're gonna work out of verse 15. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Amen. And let's add to the witness. Go to James, the book of James, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to go down to verse 4. It says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Right? "But allow patience to have its perfect or complete work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Amen. How many of us are willing to allow patience to have its perfect or complete work in our lives? Amen. I see no hands raised. No. And it's okay, you know, cause that's a big ask. That's a big ask to be patient enough, right? God can do everything, but he doesn't do everything in a hurry. Because he's eternal, God can take his time. We're the only one anxious because what? We have what? Just a few days left, right? So we realize if we don't get it done, our days will be, the Bible said a man's life is like a vapor. It goes up and it's gone. He said that's what a man's life is in the sight of God. It's here and gone just that fast. You follow what I'm saying? So we become anxious because we got to get it done. We got to see it happen. But God is eternal, so therefore time doesn't matter to him. Time matters to us, and that's why we have trouble with patience. But if you plant a garden, I'm giving you the sermon already. If you just plant a garden, I'll tell you one thing you have to have when you plant a garden. That's patience. Because nothing you plant today bears fruit tomorrow. Right? You gotta wait on it. Day after day, you keep checking on it. Keep looking at it. And then maybe way down the road, you see a little sprout. A little joy come now. Why? Now you got hope, right? Right? And you need, just like you need that in gardening, you need it in your walk with God. This Sunday morning, we're gonna talk about working in good ground. Amen.
Everybody in the house, just lift your hand and say amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Amen means so let it be. And like I said, just in the interest of time, because we're anxious to get everyone out back and into the garden, this is a very familiar parable about the sower and the seeds and the various types of seeds. And so I'm going to take advantage of your biblical literacy. And unlike a typical Sunday morning where I would work my way through the text in an exegetical fashion, line by line, verse by verse, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to sit down in verse 15 and really just focus in or talk about good ground. Amen? Good ground. So we've read that, and I was reading out of the New King James Version. I'm going to repeat it again in your hearing, but this time from the Message Bible, okay? Same thing, Luke 8, verse 15, but I'm reading it out of the Message Bible. It says, but the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on to it no matter what, sticking with it until there is a harvest. Amen. And so that's what we want. We're going to break that down and let this sink into our hearts. It says, but the seed in the good earth, the good ground, the good soil, these are the good hearts who seize the word, hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there is a harvest. Okay? Until there is a harvest. So one of the things you have to learn to do in your walk with Christ is you have to learn how to seize the word of God. Okay? You have to seize the word of God. Okay? And I'm sure you're familiar with the phrase in one ear and right? It speaks to the fact that information can be shared with you and you can easily allow it to slip away. Amen? Have we ever done that in our past before? Someone actually provided us good information, but for whatever reason, we were distracted, we weren't interested, we didn't care at the time. We had it, but it slipped away. And we only found ourselves later saying, man, what was that? They said, what was that they gave out? What was that? You follow what I'm saying? And so as believers, we have to avoid that. And the way you avoid that is by learning how to seize the Word of God. Okay? I just want to give you three things that I think will be helpful to keep in mind as we try to make ourselves better at seizing the Word of God. The first thing is, to seize the Word of God, you must be alert when the Word of God is going forth. Okay? If you're with me, if you heard that, just repeat after me and say, you got to be alert. Okay? So that's in your private study time, your private devotion. You always heard me talk about this when I try to instruct and encourage you guys in private Bible study. I always say what? Pick a time that you are most alert. Okay? Do not make your Bible time 11 o'clock at night and you go to bed at 10. It won't work because you're not going to be alert. The weight of the day has worn you out. You're drowsy, you're dreary, your hair's drooping, and whatever you read, you might as well not read it because you're not going to retain any of it. The first step in Bible study and Bible devotion, you have to pick a time that you are alert, that you're popping on all cylinders, you're ready to go. So many people make Bible study, if they do it at all, it's a last minute thing. It's the last thing after a to-do list that's 10 things long. And number 11 is, oh yeah, pray and read your Bible. You might as well not do it.
right? Because you're not alert, and because you're not alert, you're not going to be able to seize or retain anything out of that time with God. Right? So pick a time when you are alert. To seize the word of God, you got to be alert. Okay? The second thing, you want to be alert. The second thing is you want to be attentive. Be attentive. So in your private Bible study, that means what? Everybody hold your phone up. Right? Right? I'm being a helpful pastor today. Hold your phone up. That means what? You got to turn it off. Don't put it on vibrate because you'll still react to it. You got to turn, power it off. Okay? Turn the phone off, right? Turn the TV off. Turn Hulu off. Never put all that stuff off because you want to be attentive, right? We want to give our full attention and our full focus to the Word of God. You got to be alert. You got to be attentive. And then lastly, most people don't add this to their Bible study, but you have to be appreciative. That means you have to be thankful for the time you just spent in the presence of the Lord. That's in your private study. That's when we gather for corporate worship. All of these things must be incorporated in order that you might be able to seize the word of God. Do I get a witness out here? Right? So whether you're at home studying in your room, at the kitchen table, in the library, whether you're here for corporate worship on a Sunday or whenever we gather for fellowship, in order for you to be able to seize the word of God, you gotta be alert, you gotta be attentive, and you gotta be appreciative as the word of God is going forward. Can I get a witness? Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Why? Lest we drift away. You follow what I'm saying? So if your salvation, if your walk with God is not working for you, before you quit and throw in the towel, consider saying, wait a minute, am I seizing the word of God? Am I alert? Am I attentive? Am I appreciative for the time I'm spending in the presence with God? Are you with me? So he said, that's what good ground. Good ground seizes the word. Another thing the good ground does, it says, it holds on no matter what. Hold on no matter what. How many people in the house and online are holding on to the word of God right now? Somebody should have stood up on the chair, been like, Pastor, I'm literally right. I mean, that's how the walk is with God. Now, you got to hold on no matter what. You have to, and I have to learn how to stand on the word of God regardless of what comes, regardless of whose goes. I am going to make my commitment to stand on the promises of the word of God. Look at somebody and say, are you holding on? Now, again, I want to caution you now. The caution is, you got everybody's holding on. The caution is, you got to hold on to the word of God, right? This is the sower and the seed. The seed is the word of God that has now been sowed into the life of good ground. And good ground must identify itself that it seizes the seed, it seizes the word, and then it holds on to that word for dear life. Look at somebody and say, I'm holding on. The Bible says this out of the Ephesian epistle. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. and having done what? All to stand. Do what? Stand ye therefore, right? Having your loins girded about with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's what you are empowered to do when you hold on to the Word of God. Look at somebody and say, I'm holding on. See, when you hold on to the Word of God, you gird your waist with truth. Thy word, O Lord, is true. When you hold on to it, you put truth around your waist. When you hold on to the Word of God, you cover yourself with the breastplate of righteousness. When you hold on to the Word of God, you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. That's how it happens, by you holding on to the Word of God. When you hold on to the Word of God, you're able to handle tough times. When you hold on to the Word of God, you're able to deal with difficult situations. When you hold on to the Word of God, you're able to deal with difficult people. I wish I had a real church this Sunday. When you stand on the Word of God, we used to sing a song in the old church, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through all eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest. I will shout and sing what? I'm standing on the promises of God. That's what good ground does. Stands on the, whether it rains, it stands. Whether there's parching, there's no rain, if it's wind, we learn to stand on the promises. I wish I had a witness this Sunday. Look at somebody and tell them I'm standing on his promises. And so not only do we have to seize the word, not only do we have to hold on to the word, we have to stick with the word. Stick. And in my notes here, I just put, that means obey. That means obey. We've got a lot of people today that know the word. We've got a lot of people that today share the word. I'm in so many chat groups. I need a new phone number. And the thing that's going driving me crazy is I don't get bad text. I get good texts. But everybody's sharing the word of God. A morning scripture, a noonday scripture. Somebody sent me a 2 o'clock scripture. Just everybody's sharing the word of God. More people now are aware of the Word of God, but the real question becomes, how many people are obeying the Word of God? It got awful quiet. I don't know how it got at home, but in the church it got real quiet, right? Right. Because we're all a part of those chat groups. Some of us are leading those chats and sending out scriptures and sending out Bible verses and sending out encouragement, which is wonderful. But if you don't come to a point where you're going to start obeying the Word of God, look at somebody and say, you got to be more than a hearer, right? You got to be what? A doer of the Word of God. You got to take what you have heard through the morning message, what you have read during your private devotion, and now you got to make a commitment that if God be for me, I am going to do what the Word of God says I can do. When you go down in prayer, you got to have the confidence in your God that now I'm going to pray for the very things that the Word of God said I can have. I'm going to trust God and believe God will deliver it in my life. So as I walk out my salvation, not watch somebody else's salvation, not hear what the preacher says, but the Bible says to what? Work out your own soul salvation with fear. And tell somebody, say, you got to work it out. And the way you work it out is you read it and then you do it. You just walk it out. You try the Word of God. When was the last time anyone here tried the Word of God out? Anybody try His Word out last week? Took something you read and just, I'm going to try it. I'm going to see if God is going to be God. I'm going to see if His Word really works. I'm going to see if prayer really changes things, right? You've got to not only hear the word, but you've got to be a doer of his word as well. Look at somebody and tell them, just do it. And so if you seize the word, you hold on to the word, and if you stick with and obey the word, the promise here of the good ground is that you will bear fruit. The Message Bible said you will have a harvest. Okay? If you allow him to transform your soil. The reason I didn't spend time, not only in the interest of time, but covering those other soils represent all of us. Some in this crowd were stony ground. Some were wayside ground. Whatever the soil, that's what we all were. Not some of us, but all of us were that. We were some kind of bad soil, right? But one day we heard the good news, right? And with that, it said if you would just accept Christ and allow his blood to get in your soil, it is the blood that is the transforming agent in the ground, right? And so we go from being cursed ground to being blessed or good ground. But the way that we begin to produce fruit is that we have to learn how to seize now the word of God. We have to learn now how to hold on to the word of God. We have to learn how to stick with and obey the word of God. And if we do these things, the promise that we have from Christ in this parable is that we will have a harvest. Help me preach and touch somebody on the left and the right. Just tell them, you will have a harvest. Yeah. If you seize the word of God, you will have a harvest. If you learn to stand on the promises of God, you'll have a harvest. If you learn to obey the word of God, you will have a harvest. Help me preach it again. Now go the other way and just tell them, you will have a harvest. Yeah, it's in the word of God. These are the promises that you and I are banking on, that if I do the will of God, that God will bless me. Throw your hands up and say, I'm waiting for my harvest. But just James tells us that now that we have positioned ourselves to be good ground, now that we've positioned ourselves to bear fruit, now that we've positioned ourselves to have a harvest, James comes and tells us this. He says, now you got to let patience have its perfect work, right? The reason why the influx or the fluctuation in the churches, influx in and out of the body of Christ, because folks want to get in and get blessed quick. But when it doesn't happen quick, they are getting disappointed. They're becoming frustrated. I joined the church last week and I still got the same job this week. I expected that when I gave my life to Christ, everything would turn around in my life. Pastor, I heard you preach that I'm due for a harvest. And what we do as preachers, we preach about the harvest and we get everyone excited, but we fail to tell them the harvest only comes after a season of patience. Help me preach. Look at somebody and say, you're going to have to wait now. I know you done corrected your devotional time. I know you're being more consistent and faithful and coming out to worship. I know you're working in the garden now. I know you're helping those that are less fortunate now. But now you're going into a season of waiting. It doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come by the next morning. This is where you're going to have to learn how to walk by faith Not by, because you won't see it coming. Nothing is budding out of the ground. No green shoots. No heads starting to blossom. It was dirt yesterday, and it's dirt today. And I'm going to make you a promise. If you come back next Sunday, it'll still be dirt. If you come back the Sunday after that, it'll still be dirt. But the old preachers used to say, but way by and, oh God, I need it. Way by and by, if you can just allow patience to work itself out in you, then the harvest shall come. If you allow patience to do its thing in your life, with your attitude, with your emotions, in due season, you shall reap. If you faint not, you shall have a harvest. You shall be blessed, but you gotta have a little patience. You will reap all that God has promised, but you gotta hang in there. If we look for something to grow next month, that'll be our last time in the garden. It won't be there next month. It won't be there the month after that. If we're lucky and we don't hit a dry spell, don't hit a heat wave, maybe the third month. If we're lucky, maybe the fourth month. But as you learn patience in gardening, so you learn patience in the way of the kingdom. Because time does not matter to our God. He's after something far greater than a quick blessing. Look at what James says. Let patience have its perfect work. Get this. Patience is not only working in you, it's working on you. He said that you may be perfect and complete. That means you've got to allow God time to work on you. You've got to allow God time to work it out in your life so that when you finally come forth as pure gold, you'll have a real testimony. And not only will it be that God did it, but he took his time with me. James Cleveland used to say, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. He's working his word out in my life. He's working his word out in my attitude. He's working his word out in my emotions. He's working his word out in the way I was raised, in the way I was treated. God is not through with me yet. Back up off me. God is still working in my ground. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the blood of Jesus is in my ground. I'm glad that the blood is working in me. Somebody shout yes. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. How many today in the sanctuary and online have God working in your life right now? He's not finished, but he's working. He's working in me. He's working on me. He's working through me. He's working for me. That's why I need you to have some patience. Not only you with me, but you've got to have patience with your God as he works it out. Because he's trying to finish you. He's trying to complete you so that you might come forth as pure gold, so that you might come forth and be a perfect image of his son, Christ Jesus. Somebody shout yes. Let God begin and finish working in your ground. If you will allow him, you'll have a harvest. Could it be you gave up too soon? Could it be you threw in the towel too quick? That if you just hung in there a little while, not this day, but tomorrow. Not tomorrow, next week. Not next week, maybe next month. Sometimes it goes overdrive and you gotta go till next year. I don't know if I have a witness, but sometimes you gotta wait till the next decade. And even then, if it doesn't work, that's when the old preachers used to say, that's when you go in the after while mode. You just gotta wait until after a while, God will bring me out. After a while, God will turn it around. But that's the kind of patience that is required to be a good gardener. That's what's required in order to receive a bountiful harvest. While we wait, we seize the word of God. While we wait, we stand on the word of God. While we wait, we obey the word of God. Why? Because in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. That's the promise to good ground. That's God's promise to those that are good ground. Shall we stand everywhere? I'm going to invite you to stand at home with us as well. Now that the word of God has gone forth, now is the time for us to prove the type of ground we would like to be. Now we've heard the word of God. Now the sower has thrown the seed of God. Question now remains, what will our response be? Stony ground, thorny ground, wayside ground. Or will we give our heart to God and say, Lord, make me good ground. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. And I want you to change the soil of my soul. I want you to change the condition of my heart. Change me from stony ground. Change the broken and hard places in my life. Cause me to become a fertile soil in the kingdom of God. That's your prayer request. Look unto him now. With your hands and heart lifted unto God, say, Lord, get in my ground. Change my soil now. Help me to become transformed and become good. I know I didn't start off as good ground. I know I wasn't good ground last week, but this week, Lord, send your word, send the blood of Jesus into my ground. Help me not to be conformed to this world, but help me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, by the renewing of my ground. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit in me and allow me to become good ground, and then give me the patience required to receive a harvest. If that is your prayer this Sunday, if that is your prayer in response to the word of God, I told you at the beginning of the service, the sermon, you got to be alert, you got to be attentive. And in order to seal that word in, you got to be appreciative. Now, if you appreciate the word of God that has been sown, come on, let's demonstrate our thankfulness unto God. Let's lift our hands. Let's lift our voice. Let's tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word this morning. Lord, thank you for your seed this morning. Thank you for keeping me alert. Thank you for keeping me attentive. Thank you for making me good ground. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you for what you're doing in my ground. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not quitting on me. Thank you for throwing more seed in me. I want to be good ground. I want to be good ground.
Amen. So now we're going to move to the next part of our service. I'm going to go through offering and announcements. One reminder I want to make to all of you that are here and all of you that are watching online. If you have a prayer request, if you're looking for information, you can go to www.taylortabernacle.com. You can choose the Contact Us button or the Prayer Request tab. You can always call here at 215-748-4578 and leave a message and we will get back to you. Amen. Never feel like we can't be available for you. So if you need to, go to the website, pick up the phone, call us. We will respond. Amen. Amen. So next part of the service I want to go to and we're going to cover is offering time. Amen. Amen. We have people here. We have people online. So there are several ways to give. The one which I'll do first this time for the people that are here in the sanctuary, the baskets are right over there in the windowsill, and on your way out, you can place your tithes and offerings in the right basket and the speaker offering. And we've got envelopes on the chairs so that you can fill out your information and make your offering or pay your tithes. Amen? And also be a blessing to our speaker, the pastor. Amen? Amen. For those of you who are watching online, you can do a couple of ways. First, you could visit the website and choose the Giving tab and follow the instructions that are on there. You can do by text message. You would text the code Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, 61, to the phone number 73256, and you'll receive instructions for how to make your giving. Amen? Finally, you may mail your gift, check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Amen. 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 Now I will go through our announcements, and I think I have it in the same order as they'll be coming up on the slides on your screen. Upcoming virtual gatherings. Pray. Sunday worship will be available in person for the month of May. Amen. Amen. Man, we can get here. Amen. Amen. It will also be available and continue to be available via Facebook Live and YouTube. Amen. We will continue to follow the COVID-19 protocols. Wednesday services, which is our Bible study and our prayer service, will continue virtually through Google Meet. If you don't have the link, hit that Contact Us tab on the website, and we'll make sure that you receive it. Amen? And that would be from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Along with us returning to church service, the church van is available. Amen? Amen. Brother Sean has been getting up, getting out there, and bringing the folks in who want to come to worship. You can contact us via the phone website or email to arrange for transportation, and we'll make sure that we get someone who comes out to get you in the church van. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, Turning the Tide, it's the spring fundraising campaign. Amen. And so as things get back to normal, people get out, we know that Turning the Tide, we want open for the community. Amen. It offers a multitude of services. So it takes funds to try to be able to offer those services to the community. We have a goal of raising $50,000 during the month of May. Amen. Hey, God can do it. The goal has been set. It's up for us to not only give, but tell others, right? The Lord has this goal for His workshop up there. Amen? Tide continues to provide services at no cost to our community. Donations may be made through www.turningthetidephilly.org. And so I'll do that slowly again. www.turningthetidephilly.org. Amen. Or by U.S. mail and to the post, sending the donation to the post office box of 6309 Philadelphia, PA 19139. You just put Turning the Tide on the top of it. Amen. Now, with the month of May, which starts today, does anybody know what happens on May 8th? Mother, every mother in here said, "Hey, it's Mother's Day." I don't know if I heard a male voice, but I heard a whole bunch of female voices say, "It's Mother's Day." Amen. Amen. It's time for us to say, "Thank you, Lord, for our mothers." Amen. Hey, we all got one, right? Amen. Amen. Mother's Day, please bring your mother, grandmother, godmother, or any special mother figure to our special Mother's Day service next Sunday at 10 a.m. Amen. Let us be a blessing to our mothers, and our grandmothers, and our godmothers, and that auntie that served as your mother, all of them. Amen? Amen. Now, on May 1st, 8th, 15th, as the pastor mentioned earlier, I'd like us to join him in the garden, and he's already preached about it, so I don't really need to say anything else, right? We understand. Amen. Amen. We are also, I just want to remind you that if you have not done so, if you want to make sure that you give us your email, there are emails that go out from info@taylortabernacle.com throughout the week with various announcements of things that are going on here, or seeing if there are things that you want to be involved in. Amen. You can also check the church calendar on the website at taylortabernacle.com/calendar. And I guess, there's Facebook and Instagram and at Taylor Tabernacle. On Twitter, there's an at Taylor Tab Church. And then you can also check us out on YouTube and Spotify so we can get all that together to find out what's going on. Amen? Amen. I believe that's the extent of our announcements for today. So I will bring up our pastor to close us out. Amen. Hey, I just want to say this. Why we need your support for the Tide Center. So over the past month, on Good Friday, some of you joined me for the gun violence march through Cobbs Creek. We walked through the neighborhoods and stopped at the various houses of worship and offered up prayer and offered our support as the faith community to the families that have been victims of gun violence. And the various clergy were introduced. They said it's also Pastor Ford, Taylor Tabernacle. And that didn't do it, but they asked where our, you know, which church were we? And I said, well, we're at 61st and Osage. Many of them say, oh, you're the computer church. Like, yeah, okay, that works. That's a correct identification. The following Friday, we were out at Bartram's Gardens at Sankofa Farms. And many of you sent me a text. You heard the radio broadcast. We were on Word Radio Network talking about our garden. We're not the only garden in West Philly. We had about a half a dozen of us that were featured on the panel with Charles Ellison talking about gardening and farming here in West Philadelphia. And as I was talking about the garden at Turning the Tide,
afterwards when we had time to fellowship, we said, that name sounds familiar. I said, well, turn in a tie. I said, well, what part of West Philly? I said, we're, you know, at 61st and Osage, and we have our garden there behind our church building. 61st and Osage, they were like, oh, that's the computer center place. I like, well, yes, we are. That's where I know that name from, Turning the Tide. You guys have the computer center. And the very next, hey, is it open yet? We've been wanting to know. Well, I said, well, we're getting there. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. And so, just on Friday, so many folks were out on Friday, and I told you St. George, St. Barnabas was having a fish fry. Their men's fellowship was having a fish fry. And it's a great way for us to support. We have folks down here working. I told you it was my treat. I went down and brought everyone a fish sandwich, fish platter. And as I was waiting, they said, well, what order is yours? I said, my order is for Taylor Tabernacle. I called in an order for, you know, some, oh, they told you, somebody serving Taylor Tabernacle. Aren't y'all the church with the computer labs upstairs? I said, yeah, that's us. They were like, are y'all open yet? And so again, like I told you at the beginning, turning the tide is what we give to this community. That's what we're known for. We're not known for our preaching. We're not known for fabulous choirs. We're not known for pristine, window seals. You know, they know us because of the tide center. I said my name, nobody recognized me. Said the church, it went in one ear, but once I said the computer, that registered. That's what we give to this community. And that's why we need your support. We need your physical support in the garden. We need your financial support to open the Tide Center back up. The people are waiting and anxious to return. So I'm going to thank you in advance for your support in that regard. Amen. Let's look to heaven. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have had to gather and assemble in this place, to gather around your word. Thank you for giving us ears to hear. And now we pray that you give us hearts that would obey. This is our prayer and our solemn request. We ask it in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. Amen. Amen again. Guys, they got the grill going. Water ice is coming down. Everybody, meet me out in the garden. Help us do a little bit more work. Grab some lunch. It'll be a great day. God bless you, Taylor.